We're going to do what we've been doing for a number of years. Night before Thanksgiving, we have opportunity for everybody and anyone to give testimony, Thanksgiving of the Lord and His goodness. And we'll start doing that in a minute, having you come up. And when you do, you're carrying something, you come to either side of the stage, and we'll just go one after the other and come up and declare out loud. If you're online joining us, just make sure you're responding. You can send us a text or an email, or just make sure we're giving God His thanks. I remember when I first got saved and learning about praise, and the first part of praise is to offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name, Hebrews 13:15. So the very essence of praise is thanksgiving, and it often starts as a sacrifice. It means that we make a choice to sacrifice thanksgiving when we may not ourselves be currently feeling it. So I'm going through the day thanking the Lord and kind of trying to process the year, and trying to think, okay, how do I thank you and where do I thank you? And wanted to give you these three common scriptures we hear about. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says we're to be giving thanks in all things. So sometimes we can get, whoa, I'm not sure I want to, be thankful for everything. But if you learn to get a hold of God in everything, everything will be something you're thankful for. He's an amazing Redeemer, and He swallows up. And the only thing Jesus, Holy Spirit knows, His whole assignment is take everything bad and turn it into good. That's how He's operating. So if we can learn to see that. There's basically three things that I'm going to ask us to take a moment in our own heart and reflect on. And then when we have time to give personal testimony, we can kind of touch on one of those. And as far as when it comes to giving thanks to God, there's the obvious. I got a job. I got favor at work. I got a good report from the doctor. I got into a relationship that's really positive. I got out of something that was really negative. There's, something that's just obvious. It's seen and it's obvious. And it's like everybody would go, yeah. But then there's the unobvious that, something, I didn't get the job. But as I went to the Lord, I encountered Him in a fashion I never had known Him before. And so now I'm experiencing Jesus. I lost something really valuable, but I found something more valuable. Paul said it this way. He said, everything that was gain, I counted as a loss in order to gain Christ. So in the growth of in knowing Jesus, a lot of the gain of Christ comes to the loss of stuff, loss of things, loss of what is valuable. And that's unobvious. It's mysterious. You can't fully put a finger on it. It doesn't look to be something to be welcomed. I remember the first time that ever dawned on me, I found myself saying after going through a very difficult season for 2 or 3 years, and I found myself saying, Lord, I thank you for taking me through something I never would have chosen to do, because I've discovered you in a way I never could have known you. And I thought, did I just say that? Have you ever done that? Did I just say that? I mean, was I right? But you realize, there are parts of Jesus you learn, as Solomon said, you learn more in the house of sadness than in the house of myrrh. There is the celebration that life gives you, and then there's a sadness that life shows you. And sometimes there's greater discovery in the sadness than there is in the celebration. They're both needed, and they're both seen. They're the obvious good, the unobvious, the bad that's yet to become good. Because in my Bible, Romans 8, everything is going to be reconciled to the good column. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So I don't know how that's going to happen, but I praise Him for it happening. And then there's the unseen, that which is yet to be fulfilled. Promises and whispered things that God has said that we've never yet seen. So it's not a matter of it. It's still coming from the unseen. It's still a promise yet to be held. It's a consolation we're waiting for. We don't have the baby Jesus in our arm yet. But we know that we've been told that we won't see death until we hold the little Christ child. And so we wait, and we hold gratitude. Because, you know, it's just as easy to get bitter about the things you haven't yet seen as it is about the things that are the unobvious seen things that you'd rather have never had happen. And bitterness, in the simplest term, is grace that's failed to become fulfilled. We fell short of grace. Meaning, like Hebrews 12, that Esau, he despised his birthright. He couldn't gain the inheritance. And he wept bitterly trying to regain it, never could. And that was a comparison to watch that you do not fall short of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness spring up. So grace is the means of God bringing about something wonderful. Expectation is how we think it should turn out. And the way we see it, how it should turn out, usually isn't the way it will turn out. So we have to make a lot of adjustments. We talked about that in the hope. We have the concrete hope, and we have a fluid hope that goes, you know, wow, that sure didn't go out the way I wanted, but I don't think the essence of what God promised has been changed. It just isn't happening the way I saw it was going to happen. So I recalibrate. I get like Abraham. I get back in your presence. I let you kind of, reactivate me. And I go, okay, well, I went through an Ishmael season. Now you're talking about an Isaac season. And I'm not sure I know how to help you in the Isaac because I sure didn't help you with the Ishmael. And so it's a so there's less of you, more of God. But the sound that makes us not bitter is joyful, thankful hearts. Right? And if I'll tell you a secret. I mean, this is long. It's an open secret. I've been telling people this for at least 20 years. My goal in life is to die happy. I figure if I die happy, I did pretty good. I'm not saying I die happy because everything made me happy. I may be sorrowful, but I want to die always rejoicing. Because then I'm inside the place that God lives. And I've just made the transfer will be very easy because that's where he lives. His heart breaks over humanity, but yet he's always joyful, right? His heart has, he's got, I remember I've told you this story. One day I was asking the Lord, how can you be so joyful? I mean, I have 5 kids and they can, you know, cause me to worry and think and get down. And you've got 7 billion plus, and I'm sure at least 6 of them aren't doing good. So, I mean, how do you hold this joy that is so obvious? In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. I mean, you're never unjoyful. And before I had even mentioned those words, this came as clear as day into my spirit. He said, I believe in the redemption, the resurrection of my son. I thought, wow, you even believe in this. You even believe that Jesus is capable of bringing everything together and well. So fathers and more, you know, he's holding joyful expectancy because he counts that what his son has accomplished is fully going to be found. And so in 1 Thessalonians, it says, giving thanks in all things. And so I wanted to, and then in Ephesians 5:20, it says, you give thanks for all things. And then in Colossians 3:17, it says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So those in, for, through. I wanted to understand, what do you mean by in, for, and through? In all things, for all things, through him. So the word in, I love the word in. Giving thanks in all things would be, you could say, giving thanks in the position of placement inside of rest. So in whatever external things, if I'm inside placement in rest, in a position of rest, then I can operate with the heart of thanksgiving because my thanksgiving is, again, coming from the inside, not the outside. So whether it's an obvious good or an unobvious good, I can still be in a posture of, wow, thank you. Just thank you. I know something wonderful is coming forth. It's obvious what it is. It's unobvious yet, but it will be made known. Then to give thanks for all things means over of place or beyond or across or for the sake of, instead, superior to all things. Again, now, the thanksgiving is not coming as a response of all things. It's coming as a superior response to all things. It's coming as the tone setter over all things. It's like, you know, the old story, the man's late for a meeting and he's getting to his airline and he's got to get to a very important appointment and he's under a lot of pressure, and they finally say, "Sorry, sir, we've canceled the jet, this flight because of technical problems." And most people now are walking away grumbling, and this man is going, "Praise God, I am so thankful, praise God." And they're going, "What are you thankful for? You're going to miss your appointment. You're not going to get on time, and there's all kinds." He says, "Yeah, but I'd rather this flight be stuck on the ground than to find technical difficulties up in the sky. So I'm glad this thing's here, and I'm here, and so, yeah." So a lot of times we have to shift that posture. So that's where I believe it means for all things, as superior to the all things. Let the thanksgiving be superior. And then Colossians 3, giving thanks to God the Father through him, the channel or act of, through. So we give thanks to the God the Father through Jesus Christ. It is because of Jesus Christ, who redeems all things and causes all things to come under inside of redemption, that we can then give thanks through him, because he's touching everything. And again, that's a little difficult because it's all internal to external, not external to internal. It's from the unseen to the seen. It's from the invisible to the visible. It's the inside of us determining how we are expecting or accepting the outside of us. But there's really power in that. Because I believe as we serve the Lord in these last days, there will be times the Lord would want to place us in a very unobvious place of good that's yet to become an obvious place of good, a place that is in distress that he wants to bring into rest. And if we look at the distress as a sign that we are being placed or positioned into a future of distress, then we will be swallowed up by the external. But if we're carrying the internal rest, then we're going to look at the place of distress as yet to become a place of rest. Do you follow me? So we're not going to be going, "Wow, I don't want to get me out of here." We're going to say, "Let me get me in here. Let me in here. I want in this place." And you were going to be like the Apostle Paul, stuck on a boat going to Rome, having prophesied this was not a good idea, about to sink and underwater. And yet we have a place with God, and God comes to us and says, "Yeah." You know, the angel shows up and says, "You must fulfill your destiny. You've got to still get to Rome. And God's granted your request, which is he's saving everybody on the ship too." And Paul had prophesied. He said, "You know what? If we go on this boat, this journey that you're thinking of taking, there's going to be loss of life." And God, he changed the course of the obvious or unobvious through the unseen by who he served. And that's what our training is. You're everything right now in life that's negative and awful and that you don't want, turn it from that, "Oh God, please get me out of here," to begin to say, "Lord, please bring forth the redemption through me in here. Please shift it to be look like Jesus instead of it implying to me a bad image of Jesus. Let the good Jesus reign over this situation. Let the victory come." So let's take a moment. Just close your eyes, and then I'm going to ask anybody and everybody who'd like to come up, and you can start to get over to the corner. But take a moment and think of what is obvious that you're thankful for. What obvious good thing has come to you? And again, sometimes it just takes a moment to kind of jar your thinking over this last year. because we get to live under such stress and such a pace that we often don't even remember what we saw. We drive so quickly through life. But think of an obvious thing that you can, it doesn't have to be a tangible physical. For me, my most obvious thanksgiving to the Lord is the inner life that He's granted me and the union that I've come to become more aware of this year than ever before. Now think of an unobvious, something yet to be fully brought to good, but it's opened you into an encounter, a pressing in, a struggling to determine, to find. Something that you might now begin to say, Lord, thank you. I don't think I would seek you with this intensity if I wasn't here. For me, it's been some personal debt to try to see the Lord undo that and to reconcile how good He is and the things that led to those, you know, helping kids and trying to move things forward and finding that God's love for me is unaltered and that it's actually to Him nothing that frightens Him or causes Him consternation and a promise of a victory and a partnership. So it's been a new discovery of the Lord in a great way. Shabbatababa. Yes, Lord. Use language. The most important thing God ever gave us was language. It turns everything around. So find ways, words. How would you describe what is obvious, what is unobvious? Shabbatababa. Delights in us. Processing, telling. No, in the last part, what is yet to be seen? What is the unseen? It's still just the realm of promise and fellowship inside His presence, where He calls things that don't exist as though they do, where He speaks of things to come as though they have, as things that already are, even though they haven't yet been. Oh, Lord. Transference, changing lives, salvation, ministry, marketplace. What is that unseen thing that you would thank Him for? Just the same with gratitude that He gave those words, that He spoke those promises. For me, it's been a promise of salvation breaking forth in the earth again into the level and depth and dimension of Saul of Tarsus being turned, converted, of inheritances being restored to the magnitude of Jeremiah 33, where families and communities are completely brought into gladness and joy and bridegroom and bridal paradigms. Shababa. Lord, we thank you. Give again language. Try to find your own words that mean the most. We are praising our Father right now by doing this. We may not all ever have a chance to publicly say it, but He's hearing every word, every struggle of what was obvious of this year, what is unobvious yet to be made known, what it was, where Christ was and how Christ brought good out of it. And then what is yet to be seen, the unseen. Shabandereboho. Anybody who'd like to come and give testimony, please come on up. And I know I'm shifting, and I know a lot of you may just be in the presence of the Lord, so stay there. There's no greater badge by saying, you know, I got to say it publicly. Let the Lord deal with it. Come on up. We'll do it in a rapid fire fashion. Look, the left side's just coming strong. Just give, yeah, come on up. And yeah, people on the internet can see. But just say, I give, Lord, I give you thanks, and then just make the declaration.
Lord, I just give you thanks.
You should be on. Guys, green light. Here we go. You're on.
Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for both Kim and I this year. Lord, this has been an incredible year for us. And we thank you, Lord, that after 7.5 years, you graced us, Kim, with a new job. Mm-hmm. And within 6 months, he was promoted. And within weeks after that, the CEO is coming up to him and asking him to change the atmosphere in his corporation. Lord, my prayer had been all along that they would see you in him and that he would walk in tremendous, tremendous favor, and that they will know your grace through him, and that he will just pour out your love on each person as they come within his sphere of influence. Lord, I thank you also for the privilege and the honor that you gave me this year to go back to England and to serve you there, Lord. Mm-hmm. It was such a different atmosphere from when I've gone before. And Lord, you used me in a mighty way, and I give you honor. And I thank you, Lord, that you healed my knee while I was there. And Lord, that you used the tools that you've given me for healing and for deliverance. And Lord, you just poured your love in me. And I thank you, Lord, that you're using me even more now. You've opened my eyes to see even clearly. And every gift of the seer gift has been exposed. And I thank you for that. And I just bless you all with all that God has given us. New jobs, new favor, everything. Yeah. The desire of your heart to see the captive set free, to see your family come back to Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Gaynor. Come on, Kim. Thank you. Just give thanks to the Lord. This is good.
Amen. Well, my testimony is more in line with my father's passing this year. I've been concerned about my father's salvation for quite some time. He's good, solid stock German. So there's not a lot obvious in his life. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, I just felt led to be praying for his salvation. And one day, early in the morning, I was praying, and I heard for his salvation, and I heard the Lord say, he will finish well. Mm-hmm. And that was really powerful for me, not knowing my dad that well. He was somebody that I could really get close to. But a few weeks after that, I recalled a time when my family was at his mom's house with our younger kids, and she took me aside. She said, I want you to hear something. And, of course, this had happened years ago in the 70s, but I remembered it at that point. She put on a record, and there were two young boys singing Jesus Loves Me to the sound of an organ. She said, who do you think those are? And I said, I don't have a clue. He said, that's your dad and his older brother, Jack, singing that song.
Yeah.
So again, what I was finding through this whole experience is that, for me anyway, there was one thing more powerful than hope, and that was affirmation. Mm-hmm. That was carrying me through this. But there were many things that were happening this year as my dad was wrestling just with his last days. But the day that he passed away, I didn't know that. It was later in the day, but in the early part of the day, I was praying, and it was just spontaneously said, Father, would you send your joy to my dad today? And a few hours later, my dad passed away with the promise that there's joy in heaven over one person receiving their salvation.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Father, I thank you for your affirmation.
Yes, Lord.
And your goodness and grace, Lord, that we commit ourselves and our family into your hands every day. And we thank you that you affirm that here and there, now and then, just in our hearts and in other people's lives, Father. We just thank you for the joy that we have in your salvation. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kim. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mac.
Praise God. I want to say real quick what I'm thankful for, but then something big that's stirring in my heart that I think will bless people. But for me, all my natural family, I was supposed to die at 44, and yet I just entered my 77th year with 20 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren.
Hallelujah.
So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But as Pastor Steve was explaining the third thing, and things don't usually turn out like we think, and as we've studied recently, how many times Israel's enemies would turn on themselves, so Israel would win by default, in a way. And so in end time study, there's a thought or an understanding that in Psalms 83, there's a war in the last days of the countries all around Israel. And so when you read that, you think, well, there's going to be war, Israel's going to have a battle and everything. But when you really look, sometimes when we're living through things, you don't really see the big pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And right now, there's a war going on all around Israel, all the countries around Israel. They're decimating each other. Syria, which was their biggest enemy 5 years ago, is down to a third of what they're at. And not only that, but because of this war, there's tens of thousands of Muslims coming to Jesus. Now, that's only God could be the commander of a war that not only decimates your enemies, but brings a great influx of believers. So, Lord, I thank you that because you love Israel and because you protect her, we can believe those same promises that you've made in our life, because you've promised Israel things and you're fulfilling the promises to us, you're fulfilling. So I thank you, Lord, for even though there's many people suffering, this is in, I believe, your plan. You're going to bring great good out of it, and we give you praise for all you're doing in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So this is kind of a story of someone else's Thanksgiving. We had the privilege of making some sandwiches, and we spent a Thanksgiving, just a couple Thanksgivings ago, just looking for people to give these sandwiches to, you know, these lunches. We had like a couple dozen lunches, and so couldn't find very many homeless people. So anyway, we got down to like 3 lunches, and we didn't know what to do, so we were up there by where Mac lives, and so we stopped, and I just stopped the car in front of this apartment building. I don't know why I just stopped, you know. So the Lord had to stop. And this is what happened.
So when Wes stopped the car, we were praying, Lord, we don't know where to go. We don't see anybody. We're not really sure where we're supposed to be with the rest of these lunches. And so when he stopped the car, I just said, oh, okay. So I got out and I had the 2 lunches, and there was no one anywhere. And so I was praying, Lord, should I knock on doors or should I just wait? What should I do? Should I go walking? And a lady came out of her apartment. Wes had stopped right across from her apartment, and she came out with her arms up and said, hello, hello. And so I just told her that we had prayed, we followed Jesus, and that we asked who we could bring a lunch to today, and he brought us here. And she said, of course you did. And I said, and I was just telling her we were praying, and we came to pray for her and encourage her faith. And she said, well, let me tell you my testimony. She'd been sick for years, and she's a follower of Jesus, and she's homebound. She couldn't get out, and her friend was driving 3 hours to come and spend the day with her, and she wanted to serve her lunch. And I said, well, we just made sandwiches. And she said, that's perfect. She said, I'm going to get out my good dishes, and I'm going to put your sandwiches on my dishes. And she said, I couldn't get out to get lunch for my friend, and I so dearly wanted to give her a good lunch, and I don't have any groceries. And we had, earlier that morning, the Lord had me fill up 2 grocery bags with groceries and said, give her the good, or he said, put the good things in there, put the best in there. And so we had these 2 grocery bags, and all day long we never felt led to give them to anyone. And so I signaled Wes to bring the grocery bags, and so we prayed for her, and then she prayed for us. And I said, you know, we came to encourage you and build your faith, but you encouraged me. She was sitting in her window asking the Lord to bring her lunch. And she totally believed that he was going to deliver her lunch. And I came out of the car with the two bags of lunch. And then, and the groceries too. I'm like, she said, I didn't know he'd bring my groceries too. I was so excited to just be a part of, you know, just, but God, he knows our every need, and just, and just being a part of seeing what he does for each of us was such a blessing. And also just what's on my heart is just seeing what God has done in our life. We, in the last 6 years, have been going through a lot of trials with our daughter being ill. And losing things, it felt like for years, things just kept going and going and going, and we weren't able to do things like that. And we've just seen the redemption, like you were speaking of, just the Lord bringing things back, and there's such a tenderness now and appreciation so of what God, now when you're allowed to do things like that, it just means more when we weren't able to for so long. And so, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the trials and for the joys and for redeeming us and restoring us and refreshing us. And we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the blood of Jesus and all that it means for our lives. We give you glory and thanksgiving this holiday season. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Gosh. What two miracles. Larry. Wow.
Two stories. One that are combined by the death of my wife last year. And when that took place with Mary Bell, the three girls were significantly impacted, mostly Sarah, the oldest, because she was most dependent upon her mother. The other two were not. And Sarah had struggled. She got married, had struggles. And I know she's praying. Many of you prayed. Here's what God has done. There's one woman on the earth that acts like and looks like and talks like her mother, and that is Mary Bell's youngest sister, Darcy. Mary Bell raised Darcy to a great extent. But the last year of Mary Bell's life, every day I'm in there texting my wife. She's not answering. What are you on the phone with Darcy? Every day, 1 hour, 2 hours of mentoring Darcy. That's the first part. Sarah went to see Aunt Darcy in Atlanta. She came back revived by the Spirit of God. She took her husband with her. They are revived in a Spanish church. Her husband, who speaks no Spanish, has a personal interpreter in a Spirit-filled Spanish church in Atlanta, Georgia. I just laugh at this. And it's one of the elders of the church that's his personal interpreter. So every day, they live with them. Every day, Darcy, the most like Mary Bell, mentors Sarah. The icing on the cake, Darcy had a little girl who she named Mary Bell 2 days after Mary Bell's birthday last year on December 12th. So Sarah is being mentored by a woman that acts like her mother and is taking care of a little child that looks like her mother. Wow. That is God's redemption. That is redemption. Wow, yeah. It just gets me. The other side of this is me. Obviously, I was impacted. And I said, Lord, I want 100,000 souls extra for the death of my wife. And I thought, how am I going to do that? I'm hardly ever doing crusades. So I go to Thailand, and last year, in an hour flight from one city to another, he said, I want you to establish a school in the north, east, south, and west of doing the works of Jesus. And you can say, how am I going to establish a school? I can't even speak Thai. What am I going to do? March, I went to the south. June, July, August, I went to the south, east, west and north. 500 people were raised up to the works of Jesus. Just coming back last week, 1,560 people were raised up to do the works of Jesus. The goal you're talking about, 10,000 Thai believers to go do the works of Jesus. And it is so believable that one of the pastors that I was ministering for said, Larry, it's going to be way more than 10,000. Just think bigger. You're thinking too small. That's right after. And so it may be 100,000. They will go do the works of Jesus, and they will win the extra 100,000. Yeah. So, Father, thank you for fulfilled dreams. Thank you for fulfilling dreams. Thank you for taking care of every intricate detail from death rises out of the ashes, much fruit in Jesus' name. We declare that now in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Larry. Yeah.
So I don't really know how to explain. It's kind of hard to explain what I'm thankful for, so I'm just going to pray it.
Good. Please.
Yeah. I thank you, Father, that you've never left me. And even through the valley of the shadow of death, when I didn't know where I was going, I didn't have to fear any evil, and you've been with me. I thank you that you've led me through ways that I don't know, and I never could have known the path that you have for me. I never would have taken it. But whenever there's an opening and there's light that shines forth, I can see back and see how you've been leading me each step of the way, and you've been with me. And you've led me a good way, and you're a good father. So I just thank you so much for that.
Amen. Let's all stand together. That's perfect. Father, we thank you. Can we all just kind of echo that prayer and gratitude just as we close tonight? Lord, Father, we thank you that you are leading us, that you are never forsaking us, that you never leave us nor forsake us, Jesus. That you are good and you are gracious and you are with us, and all of your promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ through us to the glory of you, Father. We thank you for protecting us, healing us, redeeming us, delivering us, doing wonderful things for us. We thank you for the awful things that we've walked through, but yet we found you, and you became large and great and took charge of the very evil and turned it into your headquarters. We thank you for redemption. We thank you for life. We ask you, Lord God, this day of Thanksgiving that we now come into tomorrow, would be a day of just constant upwelling in the name of Jesus, of Holy Spirit, bringing up forward to our remembrance. Thank me for this. Why don't you thank me for that? Why don't you thank me for this? Why don't you thank me for that? Why don't you thank me for this? And why don't you thank me for that? Lord, let it be all over the year, all over our lifetime. May it shift the way we think and feel and experience the day. May we be carrying that sound of thanksgiving to all the people we'll see and be with, and all the people we can't be with. Lord, let the sound of thanksgiving well up inside of each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. And we will see you Sunday.